And now,
great to be back.
Back to the Bill Frank Radio Show.
Awesome.
And your host, Bill Frank.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to the Bill Frank Show on KVTA News Talk 1520, bringing fresh perspectives to Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is business and politics. Each of my guests will share his perspective on one or the other of these subjects. My next guest believes that the age of consumerism has blinded society to many of the simple truths we learned in our youth. Drawing heavily on Benjamin Franklin's The Way to Wealth, he shows us the new way to wealth in the 21st century. Bruce, you're going to have to forgive me for this. Priyaski is the president and founder of AHC Group, a management consulting firm focused on critical areas of corporate governance, consulting, energy and environmental strategy, product innovation, and sustainability strategy. Bruce has evolved into a mainstream advocate for sustainable strategies for everyone, from a niche expert on environmental issues for Fortune 500 corporations. He's a tenured faculty member at Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute, and he's the director of a Master's of Science graduate program. He's also taught at Cornell University and Clarkson University. Bruce holds a PhD and a bachelor's degree from Cornell, where he was the Cornell National Scholar Award winner. Joining us on the phone. Hi, Bruce. How are you today?
Hey, good to see you again, Billy the Brain.
Glad to have you on the show.
I need to let you know one thing from the start, Billy, is I gave up academia 11 years ago to focus on running my management advisory company.
My goodness.
And the books.
My goodness. All right.
That RPI stuff is a long time ago.
All right. Well, we'll put that to rest. And thank you for clarifying that. That is great.
Yeah.
I liked your book. I liked the connection that you made between today and the teachings of Benjamin Franklin. Clearly, he influenced your thinking when you were writing, doing more with less. What resonated with you about Franklin's writing and the lessons that he teaches?
Well, one of the things, Billy, is he's fun to read. He's really witty and down to earth. So as I've gotten, my work has taken me to a third of the world's largest megacities. And sometimes I'll ask a taxi over the last decade, hey, what do you think of Ben Franklin? And last February in Istanbul, a guy says in broken English, Ben Franklin, he's our man. If he can't do it, no one can. you look at it that, 14 million people on the Seven Hills, and you go, wow, that's interesting that he got over there. So there's three things I discovered in writing this book about Franklin that I'd like to start with and then talk a little bit about wealth. And
all
how
right.
Wealth.
Let's do that.
The first thing is, in a world of 7 billion souls, we might all have to become like Franklin all over again, because he was frugal with his time. He was frugal with his money. He was diplomatic instead of warlike, and that's the way he bridged Anglo culture and the new American culture. And he was also inventive in terms of technology. And because we live in an age of consumerism and an age of technology, he became a model for me of what was the first global citizen. So we think of him as an American pragmatist, but he actually saw a multiple set of universal truths. And I came to conclude in writing this eighth book of mine that the primary insight he had to do with social capital. He realizes my book is very much about realigning money, people, and rules in terms of a better balance of social capital, less debt in money, more flexibility in rules. And so I think Franklin taught me that the true purpose of money is social, and that it is a mark of success in our century when we learn how to do more with less.
All right. Now, so many people today, because of the downturn in the economy, because of the changes that we are seeing going on, have become very pessimistic, almost cynical, and they get concerned about a variety of different issues. Things like, you've already mentioned it, this increasing urbanization, the size of the megacities. Currently, there are about 19 megacities with 10 million or more people in it. By 2025, that number is expected to grow to 26 megacities. But globalization, people are worried about that, the loss of jobs, less farmland, water scarcity, etc. You tend to be more optimistic. You tend to believe that businesses are going to be able to solve many, if not all, of these world problems that we are facing today, and it's not going to be governments or even non-governmental organizations that are going to do that, Bruce. So expand on that. Why are businesses better prepared to do this, and why will they be successful when central governments haven't been?
Well, I think creativity, will always reside in the individual. And so the chapters in the book called Creativity and Scarcity talks about how bright individuals always find an innovative and diplomatic way to deal with scarcity. So I think the answer is individual creativity, and I also think that government needn't only be a rulemaker, it can also be an enabler of positive change. So the book looks at, before I get to the role of corporations like you asked, the book also looks at how government, if we can liberate drones and stealth bombers, Billy, I think it's also part of our capability to liberate infrastructure for better water, cleaner water in the cities, food in a time when, there's 7 billion people hungry. And so I have faith that once we get back to the arts of competitive frugality, get back to that youthful intelligence we had when we were kids, where we earned our reputation and earned attention from the world and society with so little. And so for me, the role of a corporation is to produce product that is competitive in three ways. It's competitive in price and quality, like Duran and Deming say, but it's also competitive in answering social needs. So I tend to be the type of social response capitalist who doesn't favor the things that destroy social value, such as tobacco, but instead favor the liberation through good rules and market forces of the things that help society. So I have a long case study of a $1.2 billion project I worked on in the book called the Fairfield Renewable Energy Project, where we're taking the waste of the Northeast. We're working with four different corporate affiliates. One had contaminated land in Baltimore Harbor, which we cleaned up under the law to tolerable limits, brought in processed waste by barges because it's there and somebody has to do a positive thing with it. And through Obama, $66 million of stimulus from Obama and from a Republican governor of Maryland, we are now producing electricity under renewable energy credits. And so my book is very much about that creative thinking of where sometimes in life a youthful person realizes that no one's going to do something unless they themselves step forward. And I'm writing a book that helps us realize that corporations have the responsibility to step forward on issues of food, mobility, avian flu, and the other things I write about in the book.
All right, my guest is Bruce Piasecki. He is the author of the book, Doing More with Less, A New Way to Wealth. Now, Bruce, in the book, you write something that I want to challenge you a little bit on, because I happen to agree with you on this corporations. I'm a very strong believer in the free market system will help solve the problems. But in the book, you write that too much excess dampens creativity. And how is that true? Because 25% of the consumer goods that were invented have been invented in the last 10 years during this age of excess, as you call it?
That's a great question, and I think it's probably the most intelligent question I've had in the last month or so on all these TV, and it's a brainy question. And I think what it is that we can always do more and better with less. So take, for example, the fact that Americans consume roughly 24% to 26% of the world's resources. Now, normally, the environmental community views that as a huge negative, and I go around talking at the BBC or talking in Istanbul or in China about the idea that, yes, we also created a third of the world's wealth. And so you can create more wealth with less resource consumption, and that's what I mean by a world of too much excess. It's true that we're living in a swift and severe world where consumer products are increasing exponentially. I mean, just think of all the handhelds that came into our life, or the electronic devices that clutter the floors of children's rooms in just the last 10 years. So what I want to get at, Billy, as an answer to your question, is that wealth is different fundamentally than a product. Wealth is the full glory of an individual creatively creating it and keeping it and sharing it, and it's not just the material gains that come from it like a new gadget. And I also, in the book, talk a lot about how wealth is a bond that you have at home and in your work and in your neighborhood that allows you to balance your ambition and competitiveness with the joys of being a contributor to something. So your question about too much excess, my main worry is there are books out there called The 5-Hour Week, where there are some new generation kids that think that life on the beach and a 5-hour work week is the answer to freedom. In my book, you receive freedom when you can transcend debt and when you discover the proper responsible balance between self-determination and the elements of fate, such as how long your life is or what condition you were born into life, how far can you go in a given life in terms of wealth creation. So I try to get back to the basics and describe that the entire role you play as a worker and as a family member and as a member of a community in solving society's woes, from family to friends to your firm, that all of that is your true wealth. And I'm trying to open people's eyes in a way that Franklin did in a very witty way 300 almost years ago. I'm trying to do it in a modern sense of acknowledging that there is a tremendous amount of excess. In the book, I also have passages where I talk about how we need just enough excess. So we don't need excessive excess. We don't need alcoholism or drug addiction or the type of hedonism that creates the opposite of creativity. So my book is a reflection on so many social problems out there that you can actually enrich yourself. And I have in my life and in my firm solving problems. We've made for Toyota better cars, better burning gasoline. We've made for Warren Buffett over 3 years more carpet than anyone with recycled content in it as we reduce their energy bill 10%. In an alliance with different firms, aligning GE and Masco and LP and Owens Corning, we found a way to make homes with 10% electricity less and 10% less impact on climate change. So the principle of doing more with less is a wealth creation idea and a product change idea, which is what my firm is very much about.
My guest is Bruce Piasecki. He's author of the book, Doing More with Less, The New Way to Wealth. Bruce, I want to come back to what you talk about as part of your central thesis is competitiveness, innovation, frugality, civility. These are all tenets of your book. But given what you write, how can we impose both frugality and conservation on emerging countries such as China and India, where they've got a very competitive, very innovative population there? I mean, the United States and Western Europe, we grew our middle class by the industrial era. Isn't it a form of economic imperialism, if you will, to say that China and India can't do the same thing to try to grow their middle class?
Well, here's an interesting way to think about that. It's a great question, but I think the answer is surprising. We've been working for 2 years for a $3 billion chemical firm called FMC, and they have three different types of divisions, and we're moving them towards biopolymers derived from seaweed.
Right.
They already own 13.8% of the world's harvestable seaweed, and because we need to move away from fossil fuel, there's a significant amount of product change there. Well, what's interesting is when you look around the world at the rapidly growing economies where FMC has a presence, India, Brazil, Indonesia, some of the Asian tigers, and select Latin places besides Brazil, these are places where the speed of growth is nearly twice what you find in America or Europe right now. Those countries and regions are already doing more with less. They are already able to generate wealth creation at a different ratio of consumption than we are. And that's what I mean by excess. So although my book is a very large ocean of emotional comments and reflections, the specifics that I do in my day-to-day business at a firm like FMC actually shows time and again that there are people in regions of the world learning how to be like Ben Franklin all over again. The problem is that when you have 7 billion people in the same lifeboat, there needs to be a more rapid motion in that direction. And so I argue at the end of the book in a chapter that makes a lot of James Taylor songs, that we're turning a corner and that as we go from 7 billion to 8 billion, the principles of competition in this book are going to become more real and less real. I'm trying to identify, Billy, some higher facts as to what really provides satisfaction in life and work and answering some of the social needs at the same time.
Well, it's a fascinating read. My guest is Bruce Piasecki, author of the book Doing More with Less, The New Way to Wealth. Bruce, what do you want readers to take away from reading your book, Doing More with Less?
Well, I hope, first of all, since this is my eighth book and my first bestseller on the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal and the USA Today list, I hope they find it an enjoyable read. It's a personal narrative, and it's going to make many different kinds of people think about their lives in a fun way, because it's liberating and it's a freedom type book. I think the key takeaway is that they themselves, in themselves and in their family and in their firms, can make a big difference by contemplating and acting on the mantra that doing more with less is success in a swift and severe world.
That is great. Bruce, if people are intrigued by what you have to say, they want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Sure. What's really cool about John Wiley and Sons, the publisher, is they've coached me to a web page where there's a lot of goodies for free. Doingmorewithlessbook.com. There are podcasts. There are videos. There's a BBC show on now. There's the Bay Area TV show. There's a lot of stuff, including a sample chapter, for free. So thank you for asking that question, Billy, and keep up the good work.
Thanks, Bruce. I appreciate it. And thank you for being my special guest here on The Bill Frank Show. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
Bye. And I'll be back with my next guest after these words from my sponsors.